Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Homu Casino Resort, the player's place.
A couple thoughts there. Eno Saris, with quite the appearance on Ben and Woods.
Hey, I appreciate it, man.
Suggested Eugenio Suarez as a potential target in the offseason. 49 home runs in the regular season for the Diamondbacks and the Mariners.
God, 29 home runs would have helped us and been the team leader.
But you know if they sign him that he's got 29 16. Tops. There's no way 16. He's hitting 50 again. You will have Mudd getting to say every single day of the season, they call him Gino.
Oh, what a head of lettuce. Look at that lettuce. What do you think of that lettuce, Don? No, I like it, Mudley. I don't know.
Like, Ed Don, says, they call him Gino.
Ed says in the chat, can't afford him. Here's the deal. We say this every year. Eno thinks it's $20 million. I've heard other numbers. I have no earthly idea what John Seidler is going to do. None. And neither do you.
We also don't know what guys are going to get. I mean, a lot of free agents out there. I don't see a ton of big spending teams with unlimited cash right now.
I know one.
But yeah, but they also have only so much place on their roster to sign guys. So other than that, like you're going to have, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of players on the market and teams that are all going, yeah, we got about $20 million to spend.
Right.
Like, they can't all sign $40 million a year contracts with every single team. Guys are going to get less than they think. And, you know, AJ will be patient and like he was with Pivetta and will likely swoop in. I wouldn't expect him to be like the first guy to act at the winter meetings and sign state-of-the-art deals on day one. I would imagine he'll be patient, but in the end of, you know, the end of the off season, he'll find some guys that he thinks will satisfactorily add some power and add some pitching to the Padres roster for next year.
Bregman, Alonso, Bellinger, Jordan Montgomery, Trevor Story maybe. Some of these guys have opt-outs. JT Realmuto, Nick Martinez, Chris Bassett, as you know, mentioned. Kyle Schwarber, as we know. Starling Marte. I'm just going to scroll way down the list. Get everybody nice and prepared to welcome to the San Diego Padres your new fourth outfielder, Randall Grichuk. No, it's $4 million. I'm not paying him that.
I'll take Grichuk.
You don't even know Grichuk. Welcome, Paul DeJong for $1 million. Dominic Smith. Can I interest you in a Joey Lucchese?
I don't know. Former Padres pitchers, Colin Ray, we're seeing in the playoffs. We've seen a lot of former Padres pitchers around.
How about Chris Taylor?
Eric Lauer with the Blue Jays.
Joey Gallo. You know
Ben
Woods.
Did he ever sign this year?
No.
He never signed, did he?
You know Ben and Woods and their constant love of one Joey Gallo. He's the last guy listed on this thing, by the way. He is 32 years old. And just out of baseball? Remember, he was converting to pitch,
so,
and I don't know how that material.
Kalaws, and I agree with you in the chat, says, I can't see Schwarber and Realmuto leaving the Phillies.
I can't either,
but that means they're going to spend all the money that they have to just keep those guys, which means other guys are going to be out there going, man, I was hoping the Phillies would get in on me, but they've already spent all their money just keeping the guys that they already have. There's a limited amount of free agent dollars and space out there, and if you're smart enough, you can find some guys and stay within, somewhat within whatever your budget, which we don't know, as you said, Woods. We don't know what it is.
Well, like David says, Hayward and Maldonado last year, right? Like, you got a little bit desperate, and you tried to catch the Peralta and Solano lightning in a bottle, and you didn't at all. And so, yeah, look, I and Yuli Gurriel as well. I don't.
Padres won 90 games and didn't do a ton right. Pivetta was a huge thumbs up, but their 1 year veteran signings didn't work out. I mean, think of all the things that didn't work out for the Padres this year.
Yeah.
And they still ended up winning 90 games.
Yeah. Yeah. So
it's not the worst place to be at.
There's always hope. Always hope. But you're going to have, again, I said this exact same time last year. You're going to have to get creative. They were very creative with Nick Pivetta.
If it doesn't work out in the offseason, build up the farm system for 4 months and trade it away again at the deadline, which is what AJ will probably end up doing.
That's right.
All right. Football threesome coming up momentarily. First, though, Paulie's got headlines in the Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy?
All right.
It's the Rindle Report brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to discover movement that inspires. Gentlemen, I got a kind of all over the place this morning for you, but got some stories here that I think we can riff on. I want to start in the NBA, kind of, NBA-ish.
Kind of.
We're getting ready for the NBA season to begin.
Oh, can't wait.
Teams are
counting the days.
Playing some preseason games, training camps wrapping up, you know, practice and all that. And I guess I have not heard of this, but the Boston Celtics, they have a bit of a tradition where right around this time as the preseason's ramping up and you're getting closer to the tip-off of the season, they will invite all of the regular local media in Boston that cover the Celtics on a daily basis, anywhere from, you know, 5 to 15 people. They invite them out to practice, and afterwards, after practice is over, they let the media player members go out on the court and scrimmage each other. Get to play on the practice court, they got the scoreboard, and they play a scrimmage game together. And I guess all of the local reporters look forward to it every year. It's pretty cool. It'd be like the Padres invited you got Dennis Lynn out there taking BP or something one day, AJ Casavell.
Woods, I can see the gleam in your eye. You're dominating the media game out on the spring training fields of Peoria.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, the Scanlon, I guess he'd be in the media game.
Thing Mudd. About the former players, though, is they're like, you go to fantasy camp, some of these guys can't throw.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this is what I did for a living. Here, look at this scar. And
right.
It's like all up. They don't, you know, you don't see Loretta in the box taking ABs. Trevor threw batting practice 1 year. It was pretty firm and amazing.
Still got it.
You know, but he's also a unit. So I think I do okay as far as the media goes.
For
I'm trying
the
to think who's in the media.
Former players?
Yeah, I think if you look around the media, I mean, me and Paulie could hit a little bit, I think. It'd be fine. Like, I could field my position okay.
So. You know?
Tony Gwynn Jr.
He says, too, he's like, Tony always says, I think he goes, yeah, I could play an inning of baseball. Like, an inning. One. I could play center, I could get one AB, and then I'm done. An inning. So
Mike Pomeranz playing the minors?
Yeah, Pom looks in good shape. How much do these guys throw? How much do they hit? Probably not a lot.
So ask about how to go for the media.
It would be fun. Yeah. So things were a little bit different this year, actually. The media members all showed up to practice, getting ready. You know, they knew they were going to be playing that day. But when they were huddled around Joe Mazzulla, the head coach for the Boston Celtics, I know you knew that.
Yeah, I love his work. Love his work.
Joe Mazzulla said, and by the way, guys, like kind of right at the end, microphones in his face, he goes, and by the way, I know we got the media game coming up today. You guys are actually not going to be scrimmaging each other. You're playing the Celtics coaching staff today.
Okay. Not the players.
Not the players. That would be dumb.
You're not playing against each other. You're playing against the coaches. And the coaches won by a final score of, as I pull it up here, 57-4. I don't know how long this game was. But I saw
the scoreboard and everything.
Saw some videos that had been going around from some of the media members that were playing. I mean, you got coaches. I don't know what they do. An assistant trainer. Just raining threes.
Probably all ex-players that still
looks
shoot
like
every
pretty
day.
Pretty good defense as well if you're holding the opposition to four in a basketball game.
57-4.
That's amazing. Oh, by the way, yeah, they put this in the chat. Tony acting like he didn't. He just played a full game and hit a grand slam in Cooperstown.
That's right.
It was like last year, wasn't
yeah.
it? All right, don't believe him. He's sandbagging. Yeah, he'd be pretty good. He's in the media now, so yeah, he'd have to play on the media team. Thank you, Paulie. That's good.
I don't know that Tony would fully. He's a paid broadcaster of the. He's a team employee. He's
that's
not
true.
An independent. I mean, you're thinking it's going to be Dennis, Kevin,
AJ
Cassavell, Annie, Sam Levitt, maybe
Sammy.
He's not a team employee.
Saul,
Scanlon. No, he's a team employee.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's funny though. I'd like to see more teams do that.
That is what I, obviously. Be so
head
much
coach
fun.
Of the Celtics, like, hey, you guys think it's so easy, huh?
Yeah, let's well, I mean, if it's good enough for the Celtics, it's certainly good enough for the San Diego.
I only recognize one name on the coaching staff for the Celtics, but he was damn good. Sam Cassell.
Okay.
I promise you.
Sam, you can't play.
That's so stupid.
Let's see. Sam Cassell is 55 years old. Oh, I promise you he's still got a great court, game. Sure,
yeah. Balling. That's so good.
So that's what they went up against. All right. Next up, another basketball story, but this one's different as it just closed out. Sorry. Talking about high school basketball in Oklahoma. There was a girls team that won the state championship last year, and everything was fine. They're getting ready to start their new season this year. All the girls are getting ready for their first practice, and their coach had to deliver some really rough news to them that they actually lost their state championship basketball game last spring.
That they thought they won.
So it's the Academy of Classical Christian Studies high school team in Oklahoma City. They won on a buzzer beater against Apache High School, and they thought they won by 1 point.
Right.
But the coach said, he goes, as soon as I walked out of the locker room that night, he goes, my stomach kind of turned into knots, and I said, I need to know if we really won this game or not, because there was one point in the game where there was some confusion about the scoreboard.
Oh, no.
Like, the guy didn't add a bucket,
right.
Forgot to start the clock. You know, it does happen, rarely, especially in the NBA or college.
So how did they
find
out? They'll
go back and figure it out. So he literally watched game film.
Oh,
the whole game.
No,
kept
dude.
Track of every bucket that was scored, and instead of them winning 44-43... they actually lost 43-42, even with the last second buzzer beater.
Now, is that reversible?
It's not. Said it tore him to pieces. It really did. Now, the state rules in Oklahoma City, or in Oklahoma at least, say because league rules state that once a game is done, players are off the court, referees are gone, there's no changing it. The final score is the final score. Unless they make the change, your foot was on the line or something, immediately. The game is over.
Official.
Final score stands. They're the state champions.
But that wasn't the final score.
It was that night. The coach kind of felt it in his gut.
He said he decided to tell his team what happened, and they were bummed, but he said it was a unanimous decision. They're giving up the trophy.
Good for them.
I don't know that the other team's going to get it and call themselves a state champion or anything like that. But they have forfeited their state championship. They said, we did not win that game.
Good on the coach, too.
We should go back and watch all the Padres games to make
sure.
See
if we really lost.
The scores are all correct. Maybe they missed one or two.
They missed that three-run homer that we hit off of Yamamoto.
It says here at the bottom, the league agreed the other team has the trophy. I don't know how much they're celebrating it.
They should. They won.
I think they are. But they are going to be written down as the state champions that year.
Interesting.
That's very interesting. That's good. That's good. That's how you.
It's a lesson.
That's a good lesson.
I thought it was a good story.
It's a good lesson.
Tough.
Good
tough
on the coach and the players.
Yeah. And then finally, I got some news here for Ben Higgins, I think, in particular. Got a new, you see him all the time, especially here in San Diego, it feels like. The pop-ups, pop-up experiences, pop-up shops. can kind of do it anywhere.
Bagels in Leucadia right now that are really good. Sourdough, very nice. Tasty.
Yeah, you see them downtown especially.
The guy just making out of his kitchen or something? What is it?
They're waiting on their spot. It's called New Wave, though. You should check it out. They're really good.
Try not to eat a lot of bagels.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of carbs.
A lot of carbs.
We got a new pop-up experience coming to San Diego here soon, and it's called the Golden Girls Holiday Pop-Up Experience. And it's going to be down in Little Italy. And they're going to have an entire, like, fully immersive Golden Girls experience, Golden Girls set.
For what? For who?
Golden Girls fans.
For this guy.
There's a lot of them. They did the celebration of the 40th anniversary of the Golden Girls on the Grammy or the Emmys.
So it says it's starting November 19th at Bayside Kitchen and Bar. Not familiar with that place, but it does say in Little Italy. The immersive installation promises to turn the restaurant into a winter wonderland for fans of the show, with themed cocktails, trivia nights, brunches,
vodka and
high
prune
tea.
Juice.
And it says a holiday cheesecake flight.
They were always eating cheesecake.
Were they?
Yeah. Remember, they pull it out of the fridge.
No, I don't remember.
Well, they wanted to talk things over. They'd pull out the cheesecake, and they'd sit around the kitchen table.
Look at him. He's grinning.
They would eat the cheesecake. Yeah, just like that.
Do young people like the Golden Girls
yes,
now?
Yes, absolutely.
How? From, like, just rewatching?
Retro.
Is anyone going to be... Are any of them alive? Betty White? No, she's gone.
She's gone.
No.
Bea Arthur? Is that one of them?
She's gone.
She's gone. Who's the old one that was really the young one?
Estelle Getty.
Estelle Getty.
I think she's
gone.
She's
gone, too. She was really the youngest one, but she played the old lady.
I think maybe Blanche Devereaux.
Who was, what was her name?
She was played by Rue McClanahan.
Yeah, Rue McClanahan. She's gone.
She is, she died, yeah, too.
Yeah,
they're all gone.
Cool. We'll look forward to that, Greg.
I thought Ben would like that.
Would you like that?
You might
pop by the
pop-up.
Pop
by. Okay. Bayside, you said.
Yes.
That sounds like always sounds like a fake name.
Let me ask you.
So that's why I stayed by the bell. I went to Bayside High School.
Let me ask you something.
Bayside Kitchen and Bar.
Who was the promiscuous one?
Blanche.
Were you?
No. I thought they were funny. Funny is why I watched it. Humor. Bea Arthur especially. You liked her humor, right?
I didn't watch it a lot.
She was the
snarky one.
Yeah. Betty White was kind of the naive,
yes,
dumb one. That
yeah,
was funny,
but funny
too.
Funny. She was funny. And the old
lady
was
The old
was
lady
great.
Was really funny.
Yeah, it was funny, I guess. I mean, I watched it in that, like, it was on, and but I wouldn't be like, oh, yes, Golden Girls. Can't wait to watch it. It
says here at the
you did.
At the pop-up, you will have a shuffleboard court,
okay,
dedicated Shady Pines staff, and an array of photo opportunities.
Hmm.
They were Miami retirees.
It's hard to get
Miami
me to a
retiree lifestyle.
It's hard to get me to a pop-up. I'm going to be honest with you. It's very difficult. I went to the Oasis pop-up in Manchester, but that's because I was
Jay in the middle says, did I watch Golden Girls and Empty Nest back-to-back?
You know that.
I did. Empty Nest was not a good show.
What was that one?
That was the retired doctor and his daughter, I think, was moved in. I don't even remember exactly what it was about. It was like a spinoff of Golden Girls.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, it's the 40th anniversary of the show started.
Yeah, they did a whole song and dance number on the Emmys a couple of months ago to honor the 40th anniversary of Golden Girls.
All right. When's that coming?
November 19th it opens up.
Okay. Did you like Murder, She Wrote?
I did.
I did too.
Jessica Fletcher.
Angela Lansbury.
It's really insane how many murders they had in Cabot Cove, Maine.
Everywhere she went.
I mean, they couldn't.
Oh, another death?
I mean, the town couldn't have had more than a few hundred people. And that
all
show was on
dead.
For like 8 years.
I know.
And someone died every week.
She goes on vacation, someone's murdered.
And
she goes to the store,
never
someone's
figure
murdered.
Figure it out without the help of an old lady writer. It's really troubling when you think about it.
I think if you whack her out, the percentage of murders goes way down in Cabot Cove. Did you like the Waltons?
Did not watch the Waltons.
I didn't either. I like Three's Company. It's my favorite.
Three's Company is
elite.
I even watched Three's a Crowd, the spinoff.
As did I.
Yeah.
As did I. Thank you, Paulie.
All right, we've got a NFL threesome, a look at tonight's game, the most intriguing matchup of the weekend, and our picks.
That we never get right.
No, I got mine right.
Did
think Paulie got his right last week. Just you now. Just you now. That's coming next after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. GEGE 000466. For a full list of games and rules, play to 7 Mile Casino. Visit 7milecasino.com.
If you go down to 7 Mile Casino, take our advice as we've been giving it to you now for 7 years. And once you walk in, you're going to say, thank you for being a friend and letting me know about 7 Mile Casino.
You'll have a golden good time.
Yes, you will.
At 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown. Look, it's the off-season right now. Still, if you're downtown, you know, I'm only 7 minutes away. I can go play some California-style blackjack, some Texas Hold'em, some Pie Gals, some Baccarat, and I can have an incredible meal with the 24-7 players menu, all the delicious food from Sammy's that you're accustomed to, but it is a pretty elite day or night out.
If you're ladies who brunch, you'll enjoy the award-winning Best in the South County Brunch Saturdays and Sundays from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Sammy's at 7 Mile, and then stick around to play the best card room in San Diego. They cater to high-limit players as well, Texas Hold'em tables, California-style blackjack tables, good dealers, great environment. Check it out today, 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from downtown.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can Ben and Woods interest you in a threesome?
A threesome would be fun.
Oh, not that kind of threesome.
Talk dirty to me.
We're talking end-arounds, the best tight ends in the world, and going all the way in this game of inches.
2 inches short, maybe less.
Story of my life.
It's the NFL Threesome with Ben and Woods, brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place, on 97.3 The Fan.
Personal file, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
Speaking of threesomes, talking about Three's Company, the whole premise was Jack Tripper, John Ritter, had to pretend he was gay so he would be allowed to live with the two women because it was so shocking and inappropriate and against the rules for them to be roommates together. Yet, I don't think there was any funny business that ever went on among the roommates. They were simply just roommates.
I think Jack and Chrissy might have had a thing.
Did they at some point?
If memory serves. Not Janet, though. Sorry. I'm sorry. But I think Jack and Chrissy, and then there was another one that somebody moved out, and she moved in.
Chrissy moved out, and the other,
the next one was.
I forget what her name was.
I can't remember either.
Matt says, yeah, they hooked up. I didn't remember that.
I think they did. I think they did.
I just remember them going to hang out at the Regal Beagle.
And I just remember him having two dates on the same night in the same place. And I thought, you're a legend, sir. at like 8, 9.
And,
I was like,
that's
my guy. And
of course, their landladies or land.
Oh, the Ropers, the Furleys.
Mr.
Mr. Furley, elite.
Mr. Furley.
Elite. It's an elite show. I wonder if it holds up.
Probably.
I need to go back.
I think it might.
Who was the Terry?
Terry.
Oh, mama. I like Terry. I was a huge Terry fan. Terry the nurse. Yes. Man, elite show. He was the greatest.
Come and knock on our door.
Come and knock on our door. We're supposed to be doing a threesome for you. Right now.
That's right. We got back to our actual threesome, our football threesome. Starting with a look at tonight's game here on 97.3 The Fan. 5:15 p.m., the Pittsburgh Steelers visiting the Cincinnati Bengals.
What a game.
What makes this matchup interesting, Woods?
The combined age of the quarterbacks is 81 years old. 81 years old.
Just the third ever matchup between two 40-plus starting quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers taking on Joe Flacco.
I forgot Flacco. I forgot about the trade already. Yeah. Like, I saw the matchup this morning just on the schedule. And
that SOB hung in there last week, and I didn't get my win because they kept it fairly close.
Both of the other 40-plus matchups were Drew Brees against Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees won both of them, actually. Now, if Pittsburgh wins this game, it's a road game, but they're favored. If they win, they will have a 3.5-game lead in the AFC North. They've only played 5 games.
Right.
But think about this. If it was baseball and your team had a 3.5-game lead in your division with 11 games remaining, you'd be talking magic numbers. Like, okay, we're getting, you know, a few days away from clinching. Now, in the Steelers' case, it's probably still, you know, another month or so, but they're in really good shape if they win this game. They can kind of cruise a little bit through the season and know we're good. We're going to the playoffs. We're winning our division. We're going to host a playoff game.
Let's manage some loads.
It's possible. They can. That division is so bad below Pittsburgh. They've really kind of lucked out this year, and all they have to do is take care of business against Joe Flacco tonight, and they're in pretty good shape.
I know I'm going out of order here, but that's the game that I'm taking with the spread. I'm taking Pittsburgh to win by more than 4.5.
Okay.
I think they get that easily.
All right. Intriguing matchup.
Even though the Bengals got me last week, I'm going against them again.
Okay. All right, there's a few good matchups this
really
weekend.
Good games,
I'll go with the 10 a.m. Sunday matchup. The Philadelphia Eagles visiting the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, the Eagles are trying to bounce back after they took 2 losses in 5 days, playing last Sunday and then the Thursday game last week. Minnesota is coming back from a bye week after playing 2 games in Europe and returning home. Looks like it's going to be another Carson Wentz game, though. J.J. McCarthy still remains iffy. Has been out with injury, but both of these teams, contenders in a very jumbled NFC right now, and it seems like, there could be like tiebreakers and elements that make this a pretty important game down the line. Minnesota playing at home, so an important game for them especially.
You know, you hate to go with the standard pick, but I think this is going to be a really fascinating game. Buccaneers against the Detroit Lions. You want to talk about evenly matched teams. 6th in points scored against 2nd in points scored. 12th in yards per game against 11th in yards per game. In favor is by 44 seconds is the difference between the two. And total sacks, almost even. Turnover differential, both 1's plus 4, 1's plus 6. Goff has gone 14 TDs, 2 picks. Baker's gone 12 TDs, 1 pick. I mean, these guys are as locked in as they can be right now for their respective teams, and Baker's playing like he's 22 years old again.
Love what I've seen from Tampa and Baker, but being on the road and Detroit coming off the loss at Kansas City, I feel like it's a good bounce-back opportunity. Kind of lean in toward the Lions. That's not my pick, though. Paul, you want to add anything on matchups, or shall we get straight to the picks?
I was with Woods, I think. I look at Monday night, Lions, Bucks. Locked in.
Okay. Yeah, it's going to be a good one.
All right, you've already made your pick. You're going with the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight on the road against the Cincinnati Bengals. Paulie, what's your pick for the week?
I will be taking, let me get the latest number here. They're underdogs, but I will be taking the 5-1 Colts led by Indianapolis Jones against the Chargers. Colts are 1.5-point underdogs. I think they win that game.
You're believing in Indianapolis Jones.
Fading the Chargers is always...
It used to be. I would have said the same thing, but I watched their game last week, and I go, oh, look at them. They're about to charge this thing all up and down the field.
They did. And then they won.
And then they won.
They did
charge
it before winning it.
That's not charging it. Charging it is losing that game. Missing that field goal is charging it. They're not doing it, really.
And they do have a good kicker.
He's really good.
Dicker the kicker. Been highest field goal percentage made in NFL history.
So they're going to have to, it sounds crazy to say, but that's a good team they're going to have to beat in the Indianapolis Colts.
I was looking at Carolina. They're 3-3. They're not good, but they're 3-3. They're playing the winless Jets, and they're only favored by one point.
What do they know?
Can Carolina, but I'm like, no, that's, of course, that's the game the Jets will win. I don't know.
I took tonight's game. I'm going to take the Steelers.
I feel very good about my pick, which is probably the kiss of death, but I am going to go with the Arizona Cardinals, who are getting 6.5 points at home against the Green Bay Packers. Now, Packers are solid, but Arizona, even though they're 2-4, haven't lost a game by more than 4 points all season. They come right down to the wire. Heartbreaking losses, field goals that have beaten them all season long, and that one that loss to by four was to Indy, 5-1, Paulie's pick. I think the Cardinals can definitely, especially at home, play at least another close game. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily count on them to win since they haven't been able to show the ability to finish, but no reason why they can't keep it within pretty much a touchdown at 6.5 points. So give me the Arizona Cardinals this week, and I'll take that mess of points against the Packers.
Indiana Jones, is that what you
Indianapolis
said?
Jones is what they call him.
I thought they call, because there is an Indiana Jones.
There's already
right.
an Indiana Jones.
Don't they call
Jones,
him an Indianapolis Jones? So
Daniel Jones is Indianapolis Jones. Hmm.
They're the Indianapolis Colts, not the Indiana Colts.
That's true. Where is Indianapolis?
It is in Indiana.
There
but
you go.
I think the funny...
Indiana Jones.
The funny twist is calling him Indianapolis Jones.
Chief and Music ceases. No, they call him Indiana Jones. It makes sense. They both make sense. You're all right. It's fine.
No, I don't like that.
It's okay.
Can't have two Indiana Jones.
You have to have one Indiana Jones and one Indianapolis Jones.
Okay. That's your threesome. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're satisfied.
We're just going to fight about Indianapolis
Jones. I know
Jones.
I am.
All of this sports talk on The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Got our final segment. Look ahead. We got two baseball games for you today. Another doubleheader day. I'll get to that coming up next year with Ben Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Quickly, gang, it's my turn to tell you about the beauty and fantastic decision that I made to get the EcoWater system put in our home. The beauty of having the best water every single day for my family, for myself. I drink tons and tons of water. It's like the one healthy thing that I do. And honestly, having EcoWater in the house makes it easier to do. My wife, traditionally, she said this, I don't really like water. I don't like the way it tastes. With EcoWater, it's different. She's upped her water intake. The kids upped their water intake. Really, really important to make sure that my family gets the best. EcoWater is simply the best. The hard water that you may be currently drinking or use running through a cheap filter, it's not the same as EcoWater. It's just not. Also, that hard water is quietly destroying your plumbing, your appliances, your water heater. So get the EcoWater system in your home. They have incredible technology as well. The first with Wi-Fi and leak detection, first with remote monitoring. All of this stuff is great, but the taste is what I always go back to. EcoWater is simply the best. Skin feels better. Coffee tastes better. And you got to do it. Got to do it. Very simple. Try the Soft Life and Alkaline Water now, just $9.95 a month, 760-350-3338, or go to EcoWaterSoCal.com. Let them know Woodsy sent you. Not everything in life should be hard, especially your water. Keep it in soft since 1925.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A little reporting on the San Diego Padres managerial search during the break. This from Mike Rodriguez at Mike Deportes on Twitter, MLB insider. Used to cover the Cubs, and he's got sports in his handle, so I believe it. Says, according to my sources, the San Diego Padres have called future Hall of Famer Albert Pujols with interest in interviewing him for the team's manager position.
Well, there's a lot of people with sources out there that just tweet stuff, so I don't know, Benny. I've seen a little smoke about that as well.
I hate this part of the
Oh, yeah.
The game more than any, like, it's trade rumors season, whether it's trade rumors, every offseason around here, at least, it's coaching hires. I hate it.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not my favorite. And, you know, then it's, you get yourself worked up about a candidate, right? That you like.
Some moron's like, I'm hearing, yeah, here's a name that nobody's talking about.
But the thing is, for me, that the bummer is you get kind of worked up about a candidate. And you're like, this is who they should get. You got to get this guy. You got to get this guy. Then they don't. And you're like, ah, damn it. I'm not even excited about it. You know, you don't even get to give the guy a fair shake because you were all fired up about Benji Gill or something at the time. So I don't know. I'm not a big fan of it either. I wish they were a little bit more forthcoming about it.
There's been some teams that very openly parade in their candidates and
even everybody
make them available to the media after the interview.
Everybody report to Petco Park if you want the gig on Monday at 3 p.m. and
open managerial tryouts.
We'll go down there and you know, and then we'll watch
stream
the cuts.
It live on YouTube.
Yeah.
Should we just start getting every one of these guys that we can get in touch
on the
with,
air?
Get them on the show?
Why not?
Ryan Flaherty, Nick Hundley.
Yeah. Be like, all right, here we go. Put you through the paces. Runners on first and second. Fourth inning of a game. It's 0-0. What are you doing? I'm probably going to lay one down. All right, next guy up. Who are you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll keep your resume on file.
Yeah, yeah. I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. All right, here we go. First and second.
I want to sound unique, so I'm always going to call for the run and hit.
Yeah, but to run and hit it. Yeah. I'm still going to wear my...
By the way, Albert Pujols' former teammate, Yadi Molina, posting this morning on Instagram, throughout my career, I've had countless satisfactions both on and off the field. Ooh. After 3 years away from the Lions, I'm ready to return to the field, whether as a coach or manager in MLB, Mexico, or wherever I can continue my baseball career, contributing and giving back to the sport I'm passionate about. So, Yadi Molina throwing his hat into all the rings this morning.
Let me tell you another quick story. I told you guys off the air, but I wanted to tell the audience about Albert Pujols that I heard yesterday from his former teammate, Skip Schumacher, on the podcast that I did with him. I asked Skip point blank, how do you train for October? Like, we're getting, you know, we're winning 90 games, we're getting to October, we're falling apart in October. It's not uncommon. Teams struggle in October. You know, it took the Dodgers a long time to finally win one. We all know that. And so how does a team turn it on in October? How do you train for it? We always ask that question. And he goes, well, the one thing I can tell you is, from my experience, Tony La Russa's message to all of us was always treat every at-bat like it's game 7. He goes, it's almost impossible to do. It is an immense grind already. He's like, I'm not saying guys give away at-bats, but the focus isn't as laser-focused as it normally would be if it's game 6 or 7 of the playoffs. Makes sense to everyone. It's August. It's Cincinnati. It's 116 degrees on the field. You're already 2-for-3. Your team's up 7.
And being a Tony La Russa disciple, you saw that from Mike Schilt, how, you know, aggressively he managed throughout the regular season in games like that.
Right. So, but he's mostly talking about the players, too. Mm-hmm. Try to have the mentality, whether you're on the mound, whether you're at the plate, it's game 7. You're up. It's game 7. Have that mentality for 162. He goes, it's almost impossible to do. He goes, the one guy that could do it was Albert. Albert was the guy that could do it and treated every single AB in 162-game season like it was game 7. Did he punch out? Sure. You know, did he always come through? No.
People strike out in game 7.
Right, people strike out in game 7. He said, but it's a mentality.
Staying locked in,
staying
every
locked
single
in
AB. That's how you get 600 home runs.
That's how you get 600 home runs, Paulie. So I heard that and I went, ooh, okay. And then you see all this smoke coming out about Albert Pujols being here. I have no idea if he's a good manager. None. Never managed. So
he did a WBC, right? Was it WBC? Or Winter League?
Winter League, and he's slated to be the WBC manager for the Dominican coming up this year.
That's
of course,
right.
That will have to change if he gets an actual managerial job in the big leagues. You can't do both.
Yeah.
So. But he is slated to be the WBC manager.
I am so
manager.
Sorry, Albert. By the way, I said 600 home runs.
700. Yeah.
703.
Whew.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of home runs.
We do need more power. I don't know.
We do. Can he swing it a little? Player manager? DH?
Transfer some of that ability to some of our players.
So, again, just a mentality that he took with him in his career that could probably help some of the guys in our clubhouse. So, Again, I could be swayed on Albert Pujols, certainly. Commands a real level of respect in the room, I would imagine. Just by walking in the door, I remember seeing him down there in the clubhouse last year. And I was not expecting to see Albert Pujols in the dugout. And I was elbowing you guys going, that's Albert Pujols. He was down. It was his daughter's birthday. She's a big Manny fan. Manny hooked her up with a jersey and things like that. So, sure, I'm on board to have them interview Albert Pujols. Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm on board to have them interview Yadi Molina. That would be really interesting to me.
That's why I think this process is going to be a long one, because I think A.J. Preller is on board to talk to all of those guys. Because he likes talking to baseball with all those guys and get their perspective. Said it a bit in the press conference this week.
Yeah.
He's going to learn about his team. He likes asking people about his team. And an interview is a way you can ask in depth what they think about your team. Even if you don't hire them, you may learn some things that you can take and give to your new manager from all the people you interview. It's an interesting process. Absolutely.
So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But again, I did hear, I've heard that his name mentioned through the grapevine as well, but we'll see. We'll see. He's probably going to be one of the guys they talk to.
Interested to hear what Darren Smith's perspective is going to be tomorrow when he joins us at 7:35.
Now, I've watched some of Darren Smith's clips that he's put out from his podcast. I'm going to tell him this tomorrow. I can't decide what side of the fence he's on.
What are the sides of the fence?
I really don't know. I can't decide what sides of the fence, and I don't know what side he's on. I was texting with him a little bit, and one of the clips was like, well, you knew what you were getting into with Mike Schilt. You knew he was prickly. You knew he was kind of a D-head is actually what he said, based on what you knew about him and when he came here from St. Louis, and you know what happened. But I don't know what that means as far as
I don't either.
Because he left.
Is there a side of the fence that the Padres shouldn't have hired Mike Schilt? I don't even know if that is a side of the fence.
Right, no, and I don't think he's saying that.
Well, they
I really
shouldn't
don't.
Have let him get away.
I can't
just
tell.
Don't know where is there even a fence here?
You can't, if the guy walked in and said, I'm not doing this anymore, I can't do it anymore, I'm tired of the questions, I'm tired of you guys, I'm tired of the coach, whatever, I'm leaving. I'm leaving this money on the table. If that's what happened, and again, I'm not heard anything to the contrary.
Yeah,
I haven't. I don't know what the side.
I just don't know. So you always want to create some sort of debate or controversy.
Sure.
But in this case, you hired Mike Schilt. It was a good hire. He did a good job for 2 years. He doesn't want to do the job anymore. So you let him go because you don't have any other choices. What's there to debate necessarily?
Yeah, I don't know either. That's why I'm trying to ask him tomorrow. Like, what is your official position? Like, who are you mad at?
I mean, could Mike Schilt
are you mad at Schilt?
Could Mike Schilt have done a better job in managing his, his personality and his interaction with his coaches? Seems fairly clear that he could, but I don't need to litigate that now. And I don't think that's not really a take either. I guess the only thing is his coaches should have been tougher or something.
Bore it more or whatever. Or
he should have been
or
tougher.
He should have been tougher.
I mean, I know the story came out the other day that he was too tough, but I think fans, all of it, not just Kevin Acey's one story, like the whole scene and going, so you started thinking about retiring back in August, right before the Padres went on a giant skid and couldn't take the division if they wanted to.
Right.
And That's a huge red flag
but
to
again,
me.
But again, I don't know that any of this is an indictment of the Padres, who, again, got what they wanted out of Mike Schilt. He changed the culture. He improved the team.
It's four managers in 6 years. That's an organizational thing. You can decide how big of a problem it is, if it's much ado about nothing, but four managers in 6 years does not happen anywhere else.
Well, one you fired, one two you fired,
one you never gave a chance to be successful. Andy Reid never had players.
Never.
No chance. Jace Tingler had some players, had a collapse. That was probably on the organization. Like, Jace Tingler wasn't ready, the right guy, wasn't the right pick. Bob Melvin, everyone thought was a really good pick.
Didn't want to be here.
Had a really good first season. And then the second season kind of went not well. And then he had an opportunity to leave. So you let him go. That was probably the right thing to do. And then with Mike Schilt, you made another seemingly really good hire who did a good job. But then he didn't want to stay. Now, his reason for leaving has nothing to do with the reason for the first three guys leaving.
Right.
So that's not really a trend. They're all just their own unique cases, I guess.
They are.
From the 855.
Whoa.
What's the comment? We still need to check traffic, don't we? Let's check traffic, since Paulie's excited to do that. We'll wrap up this conversation next.
We got to refire it up now.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. Let's check traffic. So ultimately, you know, Darren Smith will join us tomorrow on our David P. Shapiro fan hotline. Facing criminal charges, trust David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys helping clients regain control since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com, and we'll see what side of the fence, if a fence exists on this issue, when we talk to him at 7:35 tomorrow.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I don't know if it was like he was just mad at AC or something for writing that thing, because he said, I thought it was a weird piece, not a lot of meat, 3,000 minutes on Mike was hard on his coaches. Right? And yeah, okay, that's fine. And I think, you know, I think AC had his own interactions with Mike. If you watch the post game, you saw it every single night.
My original point in all this was like, doesn't it feel like the Padres organization has dysfunction, chaos, whatever you want to call it, every single year?
Yeah, you know, it does, certainly. You're not wrong. We've gone through this so many times. I think other organizations, I bet you, Paulie, Yankee fans and Phillies fans, and I think even to a certain extent Red Sox fans would probably sign up for some of this dysfunction, this. Well, at least they're trying. At least, like, you're not just doing the same thing over and over every single year, bringing the same guys back. You know what I mean? Like, there's something to be said. Now, again, the two last guys left of their own volition. What can you do? You can't force them to stay.
We're out of time.
We are.
We also have to congratulate the San Marcos Hillbilly. Chris Foster made a hole-in-one.
Hole-in-one
at Encinitas Ranch.
Woo!
Number six.
He's never going to shut up about it for the rest of his life.
I didn't know he could hit the ball that far.
My friend Tim was playing right behind him, so it's verified as well. That's it for us. For Paulie, for
Atta
Woods,
boy.
I'm Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Friday morning, 6 a.m. right here on 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.